www.blogtalkradio.com.
Good morning, America. How are you? Say, don't you know me? I'm your native son.
And now, from studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, we talk a lot about religion on the show, and one of the huge conflicts in this world today is the Muslim world as it relates to the West, as it relates to Christianity. The wars that are going on, being fought over religious issues, continue to be front and burner and confound us in terms of what we do. We're going to go to a novelist to give us a little insight, as he has before. Alan Topal is an author of 7 novels, real thrillers. We had him on here about 6 or 8 months ago, I think, to talk about his last book, The China Gambit, which I really love. He's got a new one out called The Spanish Revenge, which is part of his series involving Craig Page, the protagonist in the show. But I also want to ask him about West versus the Muslim world versus Christianity. Hey, Alan, good to have you on the show today. Glad you joined us on the Common Sense Show.
Hey, Jim, so glad to be back. I enjoyed being with you the last time. It's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now let me ask you this. I want to get into the book itself, but I wish you'd talk a little bit about this whole conflict. And by the way, usually we kind of look on the Middle East, the Muslim community, that something that so many of us in this country don't understand, first of all. And second of all, that serves as a basis of this tension with the West. And we're seeing the whole growing influence of the Muslim world in Western Europe, for example, that seems to be growing by leaps and bounds in countries like France and Italy. And talk about that a little bit, about what you see as these large blocks in the world, and then bring China into the mix. Because until I read your book, I didn't really think of China as being a danger of uniting with Islam. So put that in perspective for us before we get into your novel. Can we do that?
Sure, Jim. Thanks very, very much. I mean, as you said, I really write page-turners. I write thrillers. They're meant to be that. But all of them have a serious background issue. And in some ways, when I'm doing a book, I start with the background issue. And here, what I started with, I've spent a fair amount of time traveling in Western Europe, in Spain, and in France. And what I became aware of from my travels and then from my research and reading is that the Muslim population in the Western European countries is growing. It's growing almost exponentially as a result of immigration and birth rates as compared with the white Christian population. I mean, the Muslims in the Western European countries have come from colonies that were once controlled by places like France and Spain and Holland, but they've also come in as political refugees. And what's happened in Western Europe, unlike the United States, there hasn't been any effort to assimilate the Muslim communities into the overall community. Instead, the Western Europeans have taken the position, they're liberal democratic governments, it would be unfair to try to assimilate these people. We should let them have their own ways and their own customs. Well, in theory, that may be fine, but what it's resulted in, these huge population enclaves within countries like France and Germany and Spain, which are all Muslim, which basically the Muslims control their own areas. In some places, the civil police even stay out of the area. And these populations are growing so significantly that by the end of this decade, the Muslims will be a majority in some very significant European cities, including, for example, Marseille and Amsterdam. And not surprisingly, this has led to conflicts between the white Christian community and the Muslim community, and those conflicts are going to grow. Then, since I have China on my mind, as you said a moment ago, I began thinking in terms of a global perspective. I mean, apart from Western Europe, or is part of Western Europe. The Muslim Islam religion is on the move, generally. Islamists taking control in Egypt, Islamists in Turkey, and Islam is now existing as a huge power block in the world. And so I began to see the world in terms of three great power blocks: the West, meaning the United States and Western Europe, the Muslim world, the Islamic world, and third of all, of course, China and its growing power to control and dominate all of Asia. And I began thinking, well, what if China and the Islamic world began to unite against the West? It sounds far-fetched, and one of my editors says it was far-fetched, but it's not so far-fetched because already the Chinese are entering into agreements with Iran for oil and gas exploration. So that's how I let my imagination run, but it ran from a reality of what's going on in Western Europe. And let's not forget, Jim, that history has changed. When we came to the Middle Ages, Muslims dominated southern Spain. And then the Christians came in, expelled the Muslims back to Africa with Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand. That was in the 15th century. And now we're seeing almost a reconquest in Western Europe.
Yeah.
That's the issue I began to focus on.
Right. Well, that's a concerning, scary, fascinating. Now, let me ask you this, and before we take a break, because then we're going to talk about the book in the second half of our interview. But when you talk about this assimilation, I wonder why, you know, we have so many immigrants. I was in New York City last week, and every cab driver, I was in 35 cab drivers. There was not one what I'd consider Native American. All immigrants who had a very, very heavy accent, primarily from the Middle East, that were there, but there was an assimilation process. We seem to be, so many of these immigrants come in to assimilate in our country. Wonder why there's not the same emphasis on assimilation in European countries.
Well, I think there are a couple of things. First of all, we really strove for assimilation. America was always the melting pot, but the Europeans, until this latest round of assimilation in terms of the last really basically 30 or 40 years, there were no immigrants. There were no diverse people. It was all almost exclusively the white Christian populations. And for the first time, they had to confront the immigrants, which was our history. It's our whole 300 years worth of history. And they made the wrong choice in dealing with it. Their governments felt, gee, it would be wrong to make these people behave like Frenchmen and Germans and Dutch people. But in doing so, I think they've really begun to realize they hurt their society. So in part, it's the immigrants didn't want to absorb, assimilate, but it's in part the government's made a conscious decision not to sort of force assimilation on them. And now, unfortunately, you reap what you sow.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And like you say, many of these the immigrants were in their home countries, were a a country they immigrated to, France, for example, Spain, were protectors, or at one time those countries were under the domination of those countries. So, let's just go into the language we speak, and I just assume there would be assimilation, but it's just a marked, as you said, where they actually, in many areas, you have an Islam base that runs its own lives, that handles its own law enforcement, and just are left alone by the power structure within the country. It's just amazing, isn't it?
It is, and it's an unfortunate thing and truly a mistake. And it's different. I mean, in England, for example, about, 2 years ago, we were at the National Theater, and we saw this wonderful play by an English playwright. And what he did, he went through history, and he portrayed the various immigration populations that came to England. He started with the Normans who came from France, and they absorbed into the community. He talked about people who came from Barbados, and they absorbed. He talked about the Irish, and they absorbed. He talked about Jews who came from Eastern Europe, and they absorbed.
And hey, Alan, excuse me, I've got to stop you right now because we've got to take a break. We're going to come back and talk to Alan Topol about his brand-new book, The Spanish Revenge. Fascinating book. You can find out all about it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Freshen up a coffee. We'll come right back with Alan Talk.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense. right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Working on a home or residential painting project? There's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
Dwayne Daly from Midas Resources, January 25th, 2013. Gold opened up this morning at $1,668.75. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,710.29, a half ounce for $855.14, or a quarter ounce for $427.57. That's $1,710.29, $855.14, or $427.57.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Conflict between Muslims and Christians, particularly in Western Europe, is the focus of a new book called The Spanish Revenge by Alan Topal. He's been on the show before with his earlier books that he's written, several books. China Gambit was a tremendously popular book that I love. We've got Alan here right now. Now, we talked about politics and the tensions within the Muslim world, Europe, how it deals with America's role in the future. Let's talk about the book itself. Alan, how do you, I mean, this is heady stuff. How do you come up with these ideas? You took off with the China gambit in one direction. How do you sit down and come up with ideas like this to put it into a novel in the first place?
Well, what I do, Jim, I'm interested in doing two things, and I've done this with all eight of my books. I want to do a page-turner, a fast-moving suspense book, but I also want to have a serious geopolitical issue, and I've got all of my books are up on all the e-books, the earlier books, and I've dealt with other issues in the world. I've dealt with Saudi Arabia. I've dealt with Syria's militarism. I've dealt with terrorism in the Middle East. I've dealt with Washington political conflict. So the way I work is I focus on an issue, on a geopolitical issue, and then I think about my characters, and I try to weave them together into the story. The issue here, it's Christians versus Muslims in Europe, and also China's growing military power. These are issues I've focused on, I've read a lot about, I've been informed by my travel. How to work them into, it has to be worked into a story, so the reader will want to turn the pages with real characters that things are happening to and strong female characters. Now, how I weave them together and come up with a story, I don't know, Jim. When I walk around, when I sit at my desk, I think I get ideas and I weave it together. But it has to, most of all, be a suspense story. The history and the geopolitical stuff has to work in almost subconsciously by background. The main thing is the reader has to know, hey, what's going to happen to Craig Page, my hero? What's going to happen to Elizabeth, my heroine? And what's going to happen to my Chinese general and my Arab terrorist, who are my two villains in the book? So I don't know how I get from here to there, Jim, but the formula seems to be working through eight books, and I'm going to keep at it.
Very much so, for good reason. Now, let me ask you this. You've been compared to popular writers like Robert Ludlum, and I've read a number of his books. I'm not a believer in reading Robert Ludlum today by someone that takes the name and writes a separate book that's going on apparently with Ludlum right now, but Tom Clancy, very popular military writer. One thing, and I may be wrong on this, but it seems to me that what you do differently from them, you take a contemporary issue, but you look at history. You in the case of starting the China gambit and coming on forward into the Spanish Revenge, you go back into history and Queen Isabella and you bring in history to your book where those writers don't. Is that a difference that you see in your comparison, making that comparison?
Absolutely, Jim. You're very much right on point. Because in the Spanish Revenge, I find it very fascinating to go back to the Crusades and go back to the time of Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand and what happened when the Christians expelled the Muslims from Western Europe. I found that was fascinating history, and so I wanted to work it into the book. And so that becomes part of my niche, to work in the history. I want to do it for a couple reasons. First of all, it's fascinating to readers, and readers like it. But second of all, in a way, the past, it sounds almost trite to repeat that common expression, the past is prologue, but it is, because what's happening now is in part as a result of what happened earlier in history, and we have to understand that history, and so that's why I want to weave it in, and my readers like it. They like the international locales. My books move around among international locales. If you've never been to southern Spain and you read The Spanish Revenge, you're going to be intrigued by the area. And if you've been to southern Spain, it's going to seem familiar to you, and you're going to like it for that. So those are the two things that I try to weave in. The other thing that probably makes my writing different than the writers that you mentioned is I don't have a lot of people getting killed. I don't have a lot of dead bodies on every other page. I mean, if that's what somebody wants, they ought to be in a different place. I like to think of my books as kind of a thinking person's thriller where the reader will come away entertained and learning something, but he won't have to wonder how many dead bodies did this guy kill along the way.
Now, this is the second book that Craig Page has been the protagonist that you brought into the book. Are we going to see Page in future books? Is this is this a guy you're going to try to hang on to and work into future novels? What's the life of this guy? Is it expired? Is he going to be around for a while?
No, he's definitely going to be around. What happened, Jim, I did my six earlier books, all had totally different characters, each of them, and I never hung on to the same character. And then what happened when I wrote The China Gambit, I really liked my hero, Craig Page. I also liked my villain, General Zhao. And so I decided I'm going to hang on to these characters for another book, for The Spanish Revenge. And then I thought, well, I can get a third one out of it and make it a trilogy, at least with the Chinese general. But I liked Craig Page, and my readers liked Craig Page, and they said to me, the same as you're saying, I got lots of emails from people who said, you have to continue Craig Page. So the third book in the Craig Page trilogy is a book called The Russian Endgame, which will come out sometime at the end of this year. But beyond the trilogy, I've now decided to hang on to Craig Page and keep him coming and put him into different scenarios, because I think the readers have responded very positively to this particular character.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And now let me ask you this, Alan. The Spanish Revenge is so contemporary with the here and the now and the dangers of the here and the now. It just strikes me that'd be one heck of a motion picture. And I don't want to get into your negotiations and everything like that, but is there a chance that, I know, and these are big decisions because, you know, getting a screenplay, writing a screenplay, and then, you know, the massive cost, a movie like this is not a low budget movie if you did the story of The Spanish Revenge. This is big, big budget. Any talk of maybe heading that direction? I guess you'd like to, but can you give us a little insight there at all or not?
Sure, exactly. I'm working with an agent and a producer in Hollywood, and we are talking with people both about The Spanish Revenge, and we're talking more about two of my earlier books, one called Spy Dance and one called A Woman of Valor, which are both of which are up on Nook and Kindle. You can see it on my website on alantopel.com. You can see about them. But they're talking pretty seriously about trying to get one of those two books up on the screen. It's a long way to go. You put your finger, Jim, on the key thing. The key thing is money, because a movie of the kind that we're talking about, my action books, we'd be looking at a $50 to $75 million project. And since 2008, the money has really, really dried up to a considerable extent. I mean, think about how
fast. Hey, we got to go out to a national feed, and I apologize, but look, the book is called The Spanish Revenge, our old friend Alan Topel. Alan's website, I'll put it up on my website, alantopel.com. Great read you ought to take it. And Alan, good to talk to you. Look forward to talking to you again here in the months to come.
You bet. Really enjoyed it, Jim. Thanks.
Take care. Freshen the coffee. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at StoveInACan.com. That's StoveInACan.com.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, we've talked a lot today about staying healthy, being healthy, picking and choosing what you eat. Now, I got to confess something to you folks. I love cheese. I love cheese that is made in the U.S. I like cheeses that are made all over the world. I like kind of a rich cheese that has the flavors aren't overpowering, but that have a nice balance to them, that have a nice taste that lingers for a while. And, of course, when we're talking about cheese, we got the lady who is the cheese impresario. She's the expert at cheese. We got her here with us right now. She's been on the show before, Barry Lynn. Barry, good morning. Glad you joined us today.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to hear you.
Yeah, glad to have you back. And
thank you.
Now, look, I got a lot of questions, and I want to give you time to talk about things you're doing. But let me, a lot of people, we eat a lot of cheese down here in my part of the country. And people eat a lot of cheese all over this country, but often we stay within a very limited amount for our cooking purposes. We're not real creative. So my question to you is that, first of all, let's ask a few basic things. How do you taste cheese? If I want to sit down and go by and taste some different kinds of cheeses, do I do it with a liquid, maybe wine if I'm a wine drinker. So, and if you're not a wine drinker, do you let it stand alone? Do you eat it with a cracker? How do you taste cheese to determine just what you like?
Okay, well, there is a methodology. And, you know, your schnoz, your nose, is really your helper because 80% of taste is smell. So, you know, when you have a cold, you can't really taste anything. So use your nose. Take a little piece of your cheese and smell it and admire it and look at it. Is it hard and craggly? Is it soft with a pillowy rind? And then take a little bite and chew it up and taste it. And then if you were going to put it with a libation, it could even be a single malt Scotch whiskey, or it could be a wine or a beer. You also smell and admire your beer or your wine or your whiskey. And then you take a little bite of your cheese and you coat your tongue, make a cheese highway in your mouth, and then take a little sip of your libation down the cheese highway, and they come together in your mouth for the real pairing.
I gotcha. Yeah, so don't just take the sip and eat the cheese separately.
Yeah,
and
don't eat them separately. Exactly.
Combined. So, now, look, we're big coffee drinkers down here in the South, and I say that. People, I was in New York City last week. Everybody drinks coffee up there. But what's tell me about cheese and coffee. Can that balance? Can that be a blend? Is that something?
Oh,
is that...
Definitely. I actually did a show on my internet series called Cheese Rules. And I did a show with a hill tribesman from Thailand. We're growing this amazing coffee. And I paired it with a coffee from the Sartori, from a cheese from the Sartori family. That's a cow's milk cheese out of Wisconsin. And it's not a Parmesan. It's not a cheddar. It's really available in the grocery stores now, by the way. And it's coated with espresso. And it is stunning with cheese. It's called Espresso Bellavitano.
Hey, that's interesting.
And delicious, delicious.
Now, you mentioned, I'm going to throw you a bunch of questions at you here. Now, you mentioned Wisconsin cheeses. Why do they make so much cheese up in that part of the country? You think as cold as it is in the wintertime that maybe the cows wouldn't be that productive, but why is Wisconsin noted so much for cheese?
Well, there's several reasons. One is that there's plenty of land. You know, there's not a lot of people up there. Last time I was up there, I almost bought a lottery ticket, and I don't really do that because I thought, hey, my chances are going to be big because it's not a populous state.
Right.
And there's loads of really rich rolling hills of grassland. So that's one. And then also the state of Wisconsin really helps its cheesemakers because most of their milk goes into cheese. And so they really have created a whole, you know, whole helping. They have science labs and all these things everywhere, and they have programs for all the cheesemakers to learn and scientists coming in. So they really are very, very supportive of their cheesemakers. Where, you know, in some states when there's just a few cheesemakers, there's not enough volume.
I guess you're right. I think they give some tax breaks.
So there's a business sense, and then there's a, you know, sort of a terroir sense.
All right, now, let me keep going with you. The rind on the cheese, you got this rind. In some instances, this is kind of a white rind that I just eat. I eat that kind of a rind. Other times, mm-hmm. It's a harder rind. There's almost kind of a string substance around it.
Yeah.
Do you eat the rind? You not eat the rind? And why do you have the rind to begin with?
Well, to rind or not to rind, really. And the rind is like a protective skin for the cheese. So it doesn't spoil too quickly. It's controlled decompensation, really. And so I also have a show on to rind or not to rind on my series. I mean, it's all free. You can just get it on the internet.
And tell us right now, we want to repeat this several times. It is the www.thecheeseimpresario.com. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, and you can get right to my shows. You just click the link, and you can get right to my shows on Small Screen Network.
We'll put that up on my website. And
yeah.
I'll repeat it several times for the show. But yeah. go ahead. Talk about the rind.
So this was always a dilemma for me because everybody gave me a different answer, and so I developed my own. Really, it's if it's stringy and it's sort of fabric, don't eat it. If it's wax or plastic, don't eat it. And if it really sort of grosses you out, probably don't eat it. But I would normally say take a little nibble after you've already tasted the inside of the cheese, the paste. Take a little nibble of the rind if it's not plastic, it's not fabric, and if you like it, eat it. Sometimes the rind can actually even sort of throw your pairing off with your beverage. So try a little bit with your beverage, and sometimes it can be fabulous, and other times you can say, I think I'll just stick with the paste, the inside of the cheese.
Yeah, sure, you go. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So now you bring this up about protecting the cheese, so that brings up the next question. How do I store my cheese? I mean, does cheese always have to be refrigerated?
Yes, I always refrigerate cheese. In Europe, they keep, all the cheeses out on the counter forever.
Yeah,
but I really think that you need to refrigerate things that are going to spoil. My eggs are refrigerated. But you take the cheese and you wrap it. I wrap it in either parchment paper or wax paper, like a little package, not too tight. And then I put almost another covering on it, not too tight, but of tin foil. And then mark it, the cheese and the date. And I really recommend, obviously, just eating it right away when you get home from the store. But
right.
If you need to store it, try not to store it too long, because it does lose some of its flavor over time. But then you have your cheese all protected. It's not going to dry out. And then if I'm going to leave it in there a little while, which never happens in my household, change your wrapping, because it might get a little moist or something. And just change it like you would anything that you're caring for.
I got you. Now, and when you take it out of the refrigerator, often the cheese is cold and maybe it got a little hard. So should you let it sit out at room temperature for a while to kind of does that better flavor? Or what should you do on that?
Absolutely. I do a minimum of an hour out of the fridge. I wish I could have my kitchen counters built at a slant for those gooey cheeses. When they drip on the floor, it's ready.
Right. Oh, well, that's some good advice. Now, give me the hot cheese of the month. If I'm, I kind of eat the basics, in terms of cheese, as most of my listeners do. But they want to get real creative and get a flavorful cheese that you really love. Give us a recommendation.
Okay, well, I think the flavored cheeses are really hot right now. The cheesemakers are just kicking it out, flavored cheeses used to be very poor quality cheese with too much flavoring. And there's a cheesemaker, a small cheesemaker. She has her own cows, which would make it a farmstead creamery. Her name is Marika Penterman from Collins Family Farm out of Wisconsin, the middle of nowhere, really.
What's the name of it? We got about 15 seconds. What is the name of the cheese?
It's called, it's her Goudas, and she makes like a ton of flavored Goudas, and they're all over the country now.
That's super. Hey, the cheeseimpresario.com. We'll put it up on our website. Barry Lynn, as always, good to talk to you. Barry, give us a month or two. We'll talk to you again, okay?
Fantastic, Jim.
Take care.
To Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
If you're a contractor working in homes built before 1978, you could be fined. Fined up to $37,500. $37,500 per day per violation. If you're a landlord or property manager with rental properties built before 1978, you too could be fined. Fined up to $37,500. $37,500. We're Kachina. Kachina Lead Paint Solutions. Helping contractors and landlords comply with the new lead paint laws. Avoid the penalties. If you work on pre-78 houses, you must certify your firm. You must be a certified renovator to test for lead paint. If positive, you must use lead safe work practices. You must keep a tight paper trail in case of an audit. This law is enforced by the EPA or your state. If you remodel or rent properties built before 78, call Kachina for free information and a free phone audit. Call 888-800-5224. 888-800-5224. KachinaLeadPaintSolutions.com. Call is free. The audit is free. 888-800-5224. Kachina Lead Paint Solutions.
Food storage? Check. Survival tools? Check. Weapons and water filters? Check. But what about a permanent source of cooking power that can run forever without buying fuel or paying for maintenance? Introducing Afterburner Stoves, home of the original patented rocket stove, the Kelly Kettle, and the Solo Stove. Afterburner Stoves has what you need and now offers all GCN listeners our complete preparedness package with the means to cook meals and sanitize water. Whether you dig in or bug out, cook almost any meal with just a handful of sticks. We already have the lowest online prices guaranteed. But if you enter coupon code GCN at checkout, we'll knock off an additional 15% and send you our amazing 6-hour solar rechargeable light bulb absolutely free. All for only $249. Visit AfterburnerStoves.com or call 866-716-5214. 866-716-5214. AfterburnerStoves.com. Cook hot meals with just a handful of sticks.
Stop the pain from broken, chipped, and damaged nails and eliminate toenail fungus with a revolutionary new nail hardener, Nails of Steel. Just apply one drop of Nails of Steel over natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time and it's guaranteed. Try this all-natural antifungal and herbal formula for women and men. Call 816-896-8307 or get free shipping at nailsofsteel.com. Nailsofsteel.com. It's like a salon in a bottle.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Feeling like there are too many pressures and demands on you? Losing sleep, worrying about tests and schoolwork, eating on the run because your schedule is just too busy? You may be under too much stress, and it may be affecting your mind. Get your mental edge back with Nootropic Mind Power from MindRegard.com. Nootropic Mind Power is not a drug, but a natural supplement. Its 12 powerful ingredients are natural and non-GMO, plus it's gluten-free, wheat-free, and formulated by Americans for Americans by an NSF-certified laboratory. Nootropic Mind Power is available at MindRegard.com, spelled MindRegard.com, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Free your mind with Nootropic Mind Power cognitive supplement from MindRegard.com. Mind Regard. Clearly see tomorrow and yesterday. Today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, I'm so glad you joined us today on the Common Sense Show. We try to give you an overview of some of the more interesting, sometimes offbeat things happening in our world today, in our community today. Have a lot of fun doing so. We've got listeners across the country. By the way, did you know that some 14% of our listeners come from outside the United States? We've got a large number of listeners in China, in Russia, in Europe, and India, a growing block in India. Now, look, I guess it's a lot of you folks are listening to us in those countries just to practice your English. I don't mind that. I'm glad you're part of the Common Sense Show. Glad you listen. But we have a lot of fun and glad you're joining us each week this time. Our website, by the way, is www.jimbrownusa.com. If you go to that website, I put up some interesting stories, a lot of humor, a lot of pictures, and you can also sign up for a newsletter, and every week we'll send out a notice to you telling you who's on the show, and you also get my weekly column that comes out. I write a column every week that appears in websites and in newspapers all over America. Got a ton of viewers that view us over the GNC Live, this radio station site, and your individual radio station sites, too. I happen to live here in my flagship station town of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, WJBO. Their website carries my column. So check out those columns and sign up for our regular email alerts. Have some fun, again, by going to www.jimbrownusa.com. Well, let me tell you what, if you want to say a prayer to a loved one, if you want to ask for penance, if you want to confess your sins, make a novena, whatever you want to do. You know what? With the Franciscans, the U.S. friars in this country, very devout religious order, very devoted Catholic priests, you can do so by text messaging. Did you know that? Is anything not digital anymore? Look, I'm not Catholic. I live in a big Catholic state down here. I don't happen to be Catholic, but I routinely go through the Catholic Church. There's a church kind of close to where I live called Lady of Mercy. He's a professor, he's doctor, he's principal, and he is priest Father Miles Walsh. They built this wonderful adoration chapel that is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And though I'm not Catholic, I go by the chapel and meditate. Sometimes I'll take something to read. Sometimes I'll pull something off of the listing there on the counter of something to read with religious connotations. And sometimes I'll just sit there and kind of think about my life, my month, my children, my grandchildren, priorities in my life. I think that's important. I'm not saying I'm for old-time religion. I am. But I'm trying to kind of keep it simple and focused from my perspective. I'm just not going to be big on digital. And if I were Catholic, I would not ask for penance, or I would not want to do my confession via text message. Now, I guess that, the friars are feeling that, faith at your fingertips, novel ways for Roman Catholics to connect. And, that's just beyond me. Now, what the friars are saying is, well, look, the Pope can tweet. If the Pope can tweet, why can't friars text? And the Pope is tweeting out. And I'm all for the Pope. 85-year-old Pope Benedict, leader of the world's, 1.2 billion Roman Catholics. He's got 2.1 million followers on his Twitter page. Got that in 8 days after sending out his first tweet. And I'm sure there's a number of very devout Catholics and others like myself, non-Catholics, who follow the Catholic teachings and follow the Catholic Church, who feel like they'd like to get a tweet from the Pope. The problem is, that's not interactive. If the Pope or any religious leader wants to tweet, it's my decision to accept that tweet, to read and learn from it. Just like I receive all kinds of tweets and emails, and I receive the websites of major newspapers throughout the country, things I read. But when I'm initiating the communication, I'm asking for forgiveness, for penance, when I'm asking for prayer for a loved one, when I am initiating this relationship with the God in which I believe, then I don't think it should be done by text. There ought to be more interaction to where it's not that big of a deal to drop by your local church, your local parish. But who knows where we'll be. We'll probably be Skyping with the priest and with our religious leaders. That's maybe the wave of the future. And, is that progress? I don't know. It's not for me. I think that we've made religion so complicated that we don't make that effort. There's got to be an effort. I don't think texting actually makes this effort. We try to make it so complicated. I've been watching all the debate going on. Marco Rubio is a very bright U.S. senator who's going to be a leading candidate for president next time. He's all enmeshed in the creationism argument about when the world was created. Did God create the world in 7 days? And if so, does this fly in the face of evolution? It's become a big, big factor about what Rubio believes. And, the book of Genesis says the world was created in 7 days. But what does 7 days mean to someone completely unknown? We have no idea who wrote the book of Genesis, who uses symbolism throughout the entire book of Genesis, as we find throughout both the Old and the New Testaments. What does 7 days mean? 7 days in God's time? How long is that? Could be a billion, 2 billion, 10 billion years. That's all relative to what the writer is thinking. So 7 days could mean anything. Does that fly into the face of evolution? Look, you can look at fossil evidence. It's pretty evident if you really use some common sense that this world has been here for many, many years, over a billion years. But why is there a controversy in the first place? If you are a Christian, or if you're a Jew, if you're either one, shouldn't you be focusing not on how God created the universe, but how God saves your soul if you happen to be a Christian through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. If you're Jewish or you're not a Christian, then how God saves your soul. To me, isn't that, how God saves us, not how he creates us. You see the difference? We get so bogged down into these nuances of details. All man-made, I mean, the Bible is man-made. Now, there are some of you that feel like the Bible is the Word of God. I think it's inspired by the Word of God. But we seem to be having this war on science by both political parties. It's become so political. These aren't Republican and Democratic issues. These are personal issues involving your commitment to a higher being and how you relate to that being and how you live your life. It's got nothing to do with the world is 1 billion years old. To me, that's just irrelevant. I don't see the controversy, and I'm sure that Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, wish it would all go away. My religion is very basic. Like I say, I relate to the church wherever it happened to be. It could be a Lutheran church, a Christian church. It could be a Jewish synagogue. I just want to relate on a regular basis. Doesn't have to be on a Sunday. Most of my Catholic friends go to church on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening right now. So that's all changed dramatically. These are personal decisions you make. And when it all comes down to it, if you accept God and, by extension, if you're Christian, if you accept Jesus Christ, aren't there really two things that you're supposed to do? Two simple things. One is to believe in a higher being. That's all Jesus Christ asks you to do, believe in a higher being. And number two, do good works. Be a good person and reach out to somebody in need and do good work. It's just that simple. Believe in a higher being, do good works. Don't get bogged down in when the world was created and how the world was created, because, again, this comes from writers who were interpreting during their period of time. They didn't write anything down. It was all oral history going from one language to the other language. So, of course, there were changes and differences. Bottom line is, if you want to give a novena, get a novena from your text messaging with the local priest, that's what the friars want you to do. Well, go ahead. That's your decision. I'm not going to interfere in your life. I'm just going to keep mine simple. And I'd urge you to do the same thing. Hey, we're out of time. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Go sign up for my weekly newsletter. You folks have a great week. I'll see you next time. We're going to be in New York City next week. Same time, next station, right here on the Common Sense Show.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient nutrient value of fruits and vegetables and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.